though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou think'st thou dost overthrow, die not, poor death. And it goes on. But this is the reality. And he, risen Lord, has completely overcome forever fear of death for all of us who know and love him. And it's like resurrection, life. Thank you, Jesus. And one of the things that I was thinking about, we're going to turn to John and chapter 20. And I'm still encouraging Bibles with pages, and you'll get bored of me saying it, but never mind. John chapter 20. And one of the things that I've noticed, I'm going to try not to be too long. I really just want to highlight something for us that I've seen here in a kind of fresh, new way. And obviously, as we begin to look at this chapter, John chapter 20, and obviously at this point, the crucifixion has happened. The Lord Jesus has died. He's buried in the tomb in that sense, and he's risen. And we meet here at the beginning of John chapter 20, and we'll read this in a second, but this struck me. The Lord Jesus, Johnny mentioned this, his birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension to the Father. This is just, if I could put it like this, this is historically accurate. It's true, actually true, in time and place. And not only that, but the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before the actual event took place. So in that sense, if I can put it like this, it wasn't a surprise. And not only that, but the Lord Jesus had shared this with his friends, his disciples, his followers. So in a sense, you can look at the scriptural accounts and you can read into this looking forward and you can see Jesus is going to die and he's going to rise again. And you think, in this moment, I think if it was you or me and you were kind of planning for this moment, and it's like somebody's going to rise from the dead. You're thinking, big deal, aren't you? Somebody's going to rise from the dead. They've told us ahead of time that 3 days later he's going to rise from the dead. This is a moment. And not only that, but it's the Son of God. And you would think, would you not, that in this moment, his followers, his disciples, his vaguely interested, maybe, possibly, he could be who he said, you would think they would have gathered with fanfare and enthusiasm and excitement and thinking, we're waiting. We're waiting. He's going to rise from the dead. I want to see that moment. Wouldn't you? Thank you, Peter. I think so. Extraordinary. So what is incredible to me is what actually happens. And it seems to me that there wasn't any fanfare at the resurrection, in this human sense, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And amazingly, it's almost like, in this moment that we're going to read, it's like he almost came with a whisper. It's like he came to friends and family, and he didn't have any pomp or ceremony. He didn't appear initially to the great religious leaders and dignitaries. They're completely absent from the story. It's amazing, isn't it? You would think planning for the moment, that's what we're going to do. But not so the Son of God. And you read this, Johnny read this from a different gospel, And so this is John, and he's emphasizing certain things. And he says, now, on the first day of the week, Mary. Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw that the stone was already taken away from the tomb. This is like the opening moment after the resurrection. It's incredible. It's incredible. It's the first day of the week. You could say it's the first opportunity within culture. It was the first opportunity to come to the tomb. It's so early. She's so ready. So early. It's still dark. And Mary comes, Mary of Magdala, out of whom Jesus has cast seven demons. She went to the tomb early in the morning. And she saw that the stone was rolled away. And in that moment, it's like, whoa, what's happened? And so her response is to run. To run, and she runs to tell the disciples, and she comes to Peter and John. You can read it, I'm just kind of going through. And she comes to Peter and John, and she tells them the stone, big, heavy, enormous stone over the face of the tomb, it's been moved, it's been rolled away. They don't really listen to her. They think she's a bit bonkers, but anyway, they run. There's eagerness here. What's going on? And Peter and John run to the tomb. And John, it seems, is faster than Peter. Nice little detail. So he gets there first. And you see things here in terms of personality and people. And John gets there first because he's quicker. And but when he gets there to the tomb, he doesn't go in initially. But he kind of looks in, and it says that he stoops looking through the opening. It's just like, oh, what's happening? What's going on here? And then Peter. And Peter arrives, and he goes straight in to the tomb, and he sees the linen wrappings, the grave clothes, and then the face cloth neatly folded in a place by itself so deliberately. Peter just goes straight in. And then John, he goes in. So John went in with Peter to see and believe. But they still did not understand. You can read it in the text. They still did not understand that Jesus must rise from the dead. So what on earth were they thinking? And then after this moment, Peter and John, they go home. That's a simple little reality, isn't it? It's like, what are we going to do next, John? And it's like they go home. It's interesting. And then drop down to verse 11. Okay, here it is again. It's got me this. And Peter and John, they've come. They've seen empty tomb. They've got the facts. They go home. And then it says this. But Mary was standing outside the tomb, weeping. And so, as she wept, she stooped and she looked into the tomb and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why? Why are you weeping? And we could go back to what Johnny said. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord. And I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. I mean, talk about a whisper. Did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to her, verse 15, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I'll take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." He spoke her name. Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he has said these things to her. It's wonderful. Mary, I love the way this wonderful woman is highlighted all the way through this passage. And we find this lovely lady, Mary, and it says, Mary lingered. In the moment, she lingered. Peter and John had gone home, but in this moment, Mary lingered. She lingered in her love for Jesus. We hear it, we see it in this account. And she lingered in her love, in her grief, in her tears. She lingered, and as she wept, she stooped and she looked in for the first time. She looked in for herself into the tomb. The men had come, we said this, the men had come, determined the facts of the case, gone home. Mary lingered looking for Jesus. She sees the angels who ask her, "Why are you crying, love? Why are you crying? Why is she looking for the living among the dead?" Jesus appeared to Mary, but at first she didn't recognize him. This passage is full of wonder. The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And initially, it's like he is disguised to her. And she thinks that he's the gardener. He is a gardener. But in a different way, it's like, in a sense, like a disguise. She didn't see who he really was. And she thought he must be the gardener. It's wonderful. Mary lingered, looking for Jesus. Jesus appeared to Mary. At first she didn't recognize him, and he asks the same question that she had already been asking. He asks this question, why? Why is she crying? Why are you crying? And who are you looking for? And these are good questions. And again, as we read down, there's this obvious turning point, if you like, in this relationship here between the Lord Jesus and this wonderful woman, Mary. And Mary's there out of love for the Lord Jesus and seeking him. And then we find this little moment where there had been a lack of recognition of the risen Son of God. I mean, it beggars belief, but it's true. A lack of recognition of the risen Son of God. And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And it's like, oh, this is Jesus. This is what he's like. This is who he is. This is like the moment, if you like, immediately, the first day, this is like the moment after the resurrection. And it's like, what is he doing here in this conversation with this lady? And there's relationship here. There's a love relationship here. Jesus revealed himself, if I can put it like this, Jesus, in this moment, reveals himself through their relationship. Doesn't get more down to earth and real than that, does it? Even in this moment, this magnificent, unique moment, Jesus reveals himself through their relationship, their history, his love, the intonation in his voice. It seems to me. And he spoke her name, Mary. But he did it, if I can put it like this, he would have done it in such a way where if you can kind of imagine, I can try and imagine a situation maybe like with my mum or somebody, family. And it's like, obviously, shock horror, like I'm 51 right now, but my mum, she's obviously known me all that time. So there's like a lot of history. There's a lot of story. There's a lot of relationship. And I know that my mum can speak my name. And she can speak my name in such a way that it resonates of relationship and history going back years. There's relationship there. And Jesus, he speaks to Mary. And all he does as a turning point of recognition, he just speaks her name. And he says, Mary. And in the moment, it's like her eyes opened and she saw Jesus for the first time in this account. The relationship. Instantly, she recognized the one who knew her. Already. I think this is right exciting. He knew her. This was not some distant omnipotence, was it? In that way. It wasn't. Jesus. And he speaks her name. And she knew him. Instantly, because that's the kind of relationship and fellowship that he draws us into. And she knew him as he spoke her name. And then she replied back to him. And she said, Teacher. That's a different kind of relationship, but it's fascinating in the context. She spoke to him and she replied, Teacher. She identified something precious and unusual in their relationship. She identified him as teacher. In culture, at that time, women were not readily believed or considered a reliable witness, nor did they receive education in the same way as men. This, right now, this is an entirely countercultural moment. The person that Jesus chose to make himself known to in this moment, to start with, was a completely countercultural thing to do. And he showed himself to this woman, Mary. And then she identifies him as teacher. As teacher. You find other places where other women, we think of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, we think of Martha, and she identifies the Lord Jesus as teacher. And he was her teacher. It was completely countercultural. And she sat and listened and was taught by Jesus. And she knew him, my teacher. It's wonderful. And Jesus was not restricted by societal norms, but revealed himself to one who loved him. Mary loved him. And he is still doing this, revealing himself, speaking a name, revealing himself to ones who love him and who know him. And verse 17, it says this: Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father." But, again, he's sending her out. He says, but go to my brethren. And where are we here? But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father. Identification of family and togetherness. She could make our friend a cup of tea or something. Go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And he's identifying, again, this, if you like, this family connection. It's like, I ascend to my Father, that is your Father, my God and your God. There is a depth of relationship and of knowing right here in this moment. And he says to this lady, I want you to go and tell my brethren. Go and tell my friends. This is who I am and who I ascend to. And this is who you are in relationship to me. Does that make sense? Right here in the moment. And this is what he's doing. Affirming relationship. And then it goes on and says, Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples. She was the one who went to announce the Lord Jesus to the disciples. Which again is a completely countercultural moment. It's a completely countercultural thing to do. He sends her to tell them of himself. It's wonderful. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples. And she says, I have seen the Lord, and he has said these things to me. Wonderful, and she tells them. And when we, like Mary, have seen the risen Lord, we too have a testimony. Did we hear that? When we too, like Mary, when we have heard our name, when we too, like Mary, have seen the risen Lord, we too have a testimony, a story, something, in fact, someone to share with others. But it begins here in this relationship. We can read, I'm not going to turn to it now, but in John chapter 11, verse 25, and that's where we find Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And the Lord Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He doesn't point to a moment and say, that's the resurrection. He declares, it's self-declaration. I am the resurrection and the life. And in proclaiming the resurrection, we proclaim not just a moment in history, but a man in this moment. Amen? I'm going to say that again. In proclaiming the resurrection, we proclaim not just a moment in history, but a man, the man, in this moment, the resurrected Son of God. I am the resurrection and the life. I am Jesus. It's wonderful. And here's my kind of little thought, really, for us this morning. In amongst all of this, and just briefly, we see, and there's so much more to say, really, I think, about the Lord Jesus' interaction with this woman, Mary, and the way that they interact together. And the connection, the relationship that they have, and that initially that it is like that the Lord Jesus is disguised to her initially, and then he speaks her name. And I just wanted to highlight this for us, because I think sometimes in our lives, as we go along, even if we're Christians, and once upon a time we heard our name and there was clarity there, and then there's this response of love and relationship and connection and a kind of flush of new life, and it's just like, he spoke my name. Remember that, Jack? First time he spoke my name, and I knew when he spoke my name, I knew that he knew me. And he brought me into something that I'd never known before. And then it seems it is possible that over time and life and stuff that happens, he might at times get a bit disguised again. Do you think? I think so. I think so. And I think that one of the encouragements to us this morning, and this is my prayer for us as we celebrate the fact that this morning, in this place, Jesus is alive. And in this place, in this moment where Jesus is alive, he wants to speak your name freshly, and for you to hear your name freshly this morning. And as you hear by his Spirit him speak your name, he's speaking that relationship of love and knowing of one another. And I find when the Lord Jesus refreshes that reality to me, there's nothing that can touch it. In terms of encouragement, in terms of ability to continue through difficulty, there's nothing. Because in the speaking of my name, and in the speaking of your name, he's speaking so much of himself to us in terms of his willingness and his ability to carry us forward. Does that make sense? Because of the relationship that we have. My mum, let's go back to my mum. My mum is, in my view, a wonderful and godly woman. And I'm grateful to God for that. And I know that in my relationship with my mum, she's never going to turn to me in that moment and be like, "Matt, you're on your own now, son." It's like, nah. It's like, I'm done with you. It's too tricky. It's too difficult. Nah. It's like, no. There's nothing of that there. Why? Because of the relationship. And sometimes this resurrected Jesus, in the reality of this moment, not just a moment a long time ago, however wonderful that is, and we can even refer back to moments in our own lives that feel like a long time ago. And he brings us right up to date in relationship to himself, and he can do it by speaking your name. And he just speaks to you and ministers to you as on a personal, intimate, relational level. And he's like, he's got me again. He just spoke to me. He just spoke my name. I heard his voice. I could see the look in his eyes. I could know his embrace of love again to me today. This is the power of the reality of the resurrected Son of God now in this moment. And he can just speak your name. It's like, Johnny. Johnny. And there's something that just resonates back to him. Why? Because we're his. And here it is. This is a wonder. We are called by his name. That's intimacy. That's togetherness. Never to be separated again. Called by his name and known as his own. This is the power of a resurrected life. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And we don't need to look anywhere else. When we need in this moment, and we do, we need resurrection life. And he says, he speaks your name. He speaks your name. And in the recognition of this reciprocal relationship, we find everything that we need. Amen. This is my prayer for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you that so very definitely you are the resurrection and the life. In this moment, here and now, in amongst chocolates and bunny rabbits, you're here and you're wonderful. And I pray that deeper down in the reality of our lives and things as they are under the surface, I pray for us. And I pray for us collectively, but specifically to each and every one. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would simply speak each one's name in a fresh, new vibrancy. I pray that in our responsive hearts, there would just be such a fresh acceptance and awareness of our identity, and that we are yours and you are ours, and we are all caught up with you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for one another. We thank you for breakfast and eating together and time together and visiting friends. And we thank you most of all that you are here with us by your Spirit. And we lift your name high above every other. Amen.